Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Hope you're having a great morning. We are with you till 10 a.m. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne, collectively known as Payne and Pendergast. Good morning, Payne. How are you?
Best in the world.
Best in the world. Yes, sir.
Embark on an Astros stretch here where they have 22 games in 23 days, Sean.
Yep.
The Astros are going to need every little bit of our awesomeness to somehow rub off on them.
You got that right.
Let's rub off on the Astros, Sean.
Let's do it right now.
22 of 23 days. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break in there somewhere.
Yeah. Starting pitching is going to be fun to watch these next 3 weeks, I tells you.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah. Fun is subjective.
Yeah.
No, that's a subjective term.
Yep.
Some people like pain. Can we get freaky with the Astros over the next several days? There's a chance, yeah.
Well, the good news is these next three games against the Rockies, you are trotting your three aces out to the mound. Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, who's not pitched like an ace, but he's still the guy who would be in your top two. If this were a playoff series, he would be starting game two, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jason Alexander, who, by God, is one of the best pitchers in baseball over the last 3 weeks,
just
in terms of wins and losses. So I feel good about that. I mean, you are sending the guys that give you the three best chances to win against a really bad baseball team these next 3 days.
I would say that Framber right now is kind of like he's an ace in the same way that – sometimes the protagonist in a cop movie has a lot of flaws.
Yeah.
He's drunk a lot or what have you. But man, if he can show up and he's sober, this guy can solve a crime.
He'll catch the bad guys. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just show up. Oh, it's a sober day. Awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to get his best effort.
He's an ace in reputation. Jason Alexander is an ace over the last 2 weeks. That's all. You know,
Alexander's been a machine.
Yeah, well, you know what you're getting at least. You know, you're going to get 5 or 6 innings. He's going to give up a run or two, and he's going to give you a chance to win the game. That's more than you can say for Framber over the last 4 or 5 starts.
So, since snapping a season-long 5-game losing streak on July 29th, the Astros are 12-12.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-0 in that stretch and game started by Jason Alexander, who has a 1.93 ERA and 3 of their 8 quality starts in that span. That's either from Chandler Rome or Matt Kawahara. They're kind of one entity at this point in my brain.
He is June Hunter and July Framber right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's your guy in August. For the month of August, Jason Alexander's been your guy. So we'll get to the Astros in a little more detail in the next segment. The lead this morning is that we finally got confirmation on what's going to happen with Joe Mixon. This is the only transaction that I've seen a report of out of the Houston Texans. We've not seen any cuts yet. D'Amico Ryans met over Zoom with the media yesterday, and I've been trying to find that press conference on YouTube.
They didn't send it out.
Yeah.
They sent the transcripts. But,
okay, I'm not going to do a dramatic reading of D'Amico Ryans' press conference. he was coy on the Joe Mixon thing like two hours before they put the announcement out that Joe Mixon would be starting the season on the PUP list. Joe Mixon is going to miss at least the first 4 games of the season. And so this makes Nick Chubb the likely first string running back. I don't think it's going to be Nick Chubb with as heavy a dosage as we would have gotten if Joe Mixon had he been healthy. I don't think Nick Chubb is going to be a bell cow in this thing and touch the ball 20 times. I might be wrong. I think it's going to be a combination effort. But the Mixon thing, I don't know, Seth. If the line blocks the way it blocked in the preseason and the running backs run the way they ran in the preseason, I think this is a crisis that you can work your way through if you're the Texans. My concern is how long is Mixon going to be out for here?
How long is he going to be out for?
How serious is this injury?
I mean, lots of speculation. And then weird, you know, the nonsense where you have people that aren't necessarily newsbreakers saying, like, well, I'm hearing it could be a whole year thing. The problem with that is that sometimes the nonsense is true and sometimes it isn't. We have just really no way of knowing exactly what we should expect here, other than that we're definitely going to not have him for 4 games. The thing that makes me nervous about that is if there were any chance at all that they felt he could be back in 2 or 3 games, they might not have put him on this list. So by sheer weighing the probabilities of it, in my mind, I'm preparing it for it to be very possibly more than a five-game absence, which means you run smack dab into the Ravens in that first stretch before the bye week without a Joe Mixon on your roster.
Well, the Ravens in week five, I think what's interesting about what you just said, like if he could have been back sooner than four games, then they might have just kind of weathered the roster, the 53-man roster storm with that roster spot. I would suggest that of the first five games, the least challenging ones on paper are weeks three and four, but they're the most important ones in terms of what the stated goal is for the season, and that's to win the division. Week three is the Jags, and week four is the Titans, and I would think that you would want Joe Mixon back for divisional games, if anything. So you're right. Like I say that to say that if there was any chance he could be back for either of those games, I think they would have weathered the storm, and they're not weathering the storm. They're putting him on the PUP list.
And if those two games, you look at the first few games, the Rams didn't have a great run defense last year, but they've got some young studs in their front seven where I think they're going to improve. They've got guys there. They just couldn't tie it together a lot, and some of it was youth. So I think they're going to be an improved run defense. And then if you look at, you know, the Jags were not a good defense, but the Titans weren't a good defense, and yet T'Vondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackles for the Titans, are the stuff of my nightmares. The Bucs weren't a great run defense last year, but they've got Vita Vea in the middle. All of the things and all the questions you have about the interior offensive line are really going to get tested out here early. And if we watch Nick Caley this year versus last year, Nick Caley versus Bobby Slowick, there's really been an emphasis on running between the tackles, on the inside run. Mm-hmm. And you face some studs in those first few games that you're going to be tested on it, especially without Joe Mixon. So I'm nervously excited about it right now. I don't want to look back and think about how stupid I was that I wasn't more nervous in a scared pooping my pants type of way at this point. But I'm eager to see what this Texans offensive line looks like.
I am too. I think this would be a bigger deal if it were Nico Collins who was missing the first four games. I think it would be. I'm not trying to power rank these. I'm just trying to frame the importance or maybe the importance of Joe Mixon in all this. I feel decent about the backfield room that they've put together. You know, Mixon had a great season last year. I'd much rather have Joe Mixon out there starting week one than the committee that they're going to trot out there. That said, I think Nick Chubb has looked capable in the preseason. I'm really excited about Woody Marks. I think Woody Marks has looked, and I know he was brought in with the reputation was, boy, they got this guy and he caught 80 balls a couple of years ago. He really has potential to be your third down back. Man, the way Woody Marks ran, and granted it was against twos and threes, I understand that. But I if you were telling me split carries right now with Nick Chubb and Woody Marks, let's go. He showed me a lot in the preseason to where I feel really good about him getting 10 or 12 touches at least each game.
And right I'm now. Still, I don't, I honestly, I'm intrigued by Dameon Pierce, but it's not like in his performance in the one preseason game was something where I thought, oh yeah, this guy's going to be exactly who he was his rookie year.
Right.
There, I still have questions about him. There was one of his runs, he really stuck it to one of the linebackers and popped him up underneath the chin at the end of the run. Yeah. And that was good to see, but it wasn't like he was out there breaking tackles. And I'm here for the potential upside of Dameon Pierce, but right now, yeah, I get more excited about the 1-2 combo and the different running styles and skill set of Nick Chubb and Woody Marks.
Yeah, I do too. The thing with Dameon, at least, and like in the carries he had on Saturday against the Lions, at least he was running physical and leaning forward. Like that hasn't been the case the last 2 years.
You know? Well, but and then we know from last year, even though they didn't use him hardly at all, he had those two long breakaway runs, one versus the Patriots, one versus the Titans, and that's he still has that in his bag. It's just a big mystery as to what it's going to look like. We haven't seen Nick Caley specifically game plan for an opponent yet. I got so encouraged and excited about some of the things that Nick Caley was showing and that there was evidence of his coaching ability, but now it's okay, you're going to be going in, you're going to be calling plays for the first time in an NFL regular season game. You've got 2 weeks to game plan here. Let's see what he does with that. And it might be, it could be great. It could be awful. We just don't know.
Rampant speculation now on the text page. This seems suspiciously a lot like the Christian Harris injury last year. Based on history with the Texans, I would say the betting money is Mixon is out for the season. Best case scenario is Mixon back for game nine. Game nine feels very random. I think you're conflating the Astros with the Texans a little bit here. Other than Christian Harris, I don't think the Texans had an injury that we were like in the dark on last year.
Right. If you cite as your example one guy and then the history of the Texans. So like over the course of two decades, if Christian Harris is the example of how you should expect it to go with the Texans, if anything, that's saying that, no, based on history, it's only happened to one guy. We got another 20 years or so before this happens again.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, and I'll
The Astros. No, but that does seep in. Whenever we see mysterious injuries now, it feels like you can't help but think about all these mysterious injuries with the Astros that have just dragged and dragged and dragged.
I guess the comp with Christian Harris would be that, like Christian Harris, Joe Mixon was kind of persona non grata out of camp. Like, nobody saw. He wasn't out there. Christian Harris last year wasn't out there. Joe Mixon was hurt during camp last year, but he was working out on a side. He was visible. You could see him.
Yeah.
And then he started in week one, and he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he wasn't persona non grata. They would have been happy to have him out there. They would have been like, oh, awesome, he's out here. But he was just absent.
That's what I mean, yeah.
He was on a sabbatical.
Yeah, he wasn't physically at practice is what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe returns in week seven after the bye week. Okay, doctor. That's a text
message.
Nobody
knows, man.
Yeah, that's a text message.
Sean, you doing all right? You're a little bit agitated this morning. It didn't start off well like 10 minutes before the show.
I don't want to air dirty laundry about work stuff.
Why shouldn't you? It's been a good recipe for a lot of people.
Yeah, I was up late last night listening to the Will Anderson podcast.
Yeah.
Getting cuts, and I came in this morning, and there's a list of cuts what appears to be from another show on our station. I don't know which show. And they already cut up the Will Anderson Greenlight podcast with Chris Long. And I'm just saying it would have been nice if someone told us that they'd cut that up, and I wouldn't have been up till 10:30 last night sending Ben cuts for him to cut this morning is all.
You know what?
That agitates me. Yeah.
One time I was a young kid. I was working for this old guy. He was a great old guy, but there was also just kind of... he's starting to lose it a little bit. Yeah. And he told me to paint a fence one day. And I told him that I'd already painted that fence. And he went out and he looked at it. And he's like, clearly he was really losing it. And I had to paint the fence all over again. Yeah. And it was, I wasn't in a good state of mind that day.
Yeah.
As I was painting a fence that I had painted 3 days before.
That's all.
Yeah, so you're out there. You painted a fence that didn't need to be painted last night.
Yeah, that's what I did. I was up late taking out the brushes and the paint, and I was painting. Yeah. That's all.
Except you didn't even know.
No.
You're painting the fence in the dark.
No.
You didn't even know that it had already been painted.
No. And to be clear, it's probably more frustration with a process, and I'm probably part of the problem, too. So that's all. You know, I got less sleep last night. That's all.
The other time that I was working for this old guy, he's this old architect. He had this incredible, he had seven different buildings on his property and everything. It was really, really cool. And he was awesome, except for when he was losing it.
Yeah.
So one day I was supposed to be weeding his whole courtyard area. And I did for like 4 hours and it was hot out. Mm-hmm. And he came out and he said, what have you been doing all this time?
Yeah.
Do I need to show you how to weed? And he started going around and he's like, it doesn't seem like it needs weeding. And I was like, well, I've already gone over it once. He's like, well, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you say something? I wasn't long for that job. The fence painting and the weeding, that all happened within like 1 week of each other. And I had to have a talk with my dad about like, how do I handle this situation? And
did the job pay okay?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why I kept doing it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. I was like, I was back then, I don't know, minimum wage was like $4.25, and I was making like $5 an hour.
Yeah,
I was making out, big time. Oh, yeah.
Cigars, cognac. Yeah, you were
taking my girlfriend out to Burger King.
That's it, man. That's it.
Or riding on my pegs. Had brand new. I got the fat pegs for her to ride on. It was a lot more comfortable of a situation than those skinny hex pegs.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Off and running on a on a Tuesday. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610, presented by Paramount Plus. You can count on, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. All right, up next, Astros. A big series. I can't even say that thank God this team has come into town. Not with the Astros, because we've seen it happen already. What are the big issues right now with our Houston Astros? We'll run through them coming up next.